We've been told over and over that civilization started about 6,000 years ago. Before that, humans were supposedly just wandering around, hunting and gathering, living one day at a time. But let's be real, this story doesn't hold up. There's growing evidence that this timeline barely scratches the surface of what really happened. New discoveries are revealing advanced societies that existed long before anyone picked up a pen to write history. These ancient people weren't just surviving, they were thriving. They had engineering know-how, a solid grasp of astronomy, and the knack for building monuments that align perfectly with the stars. Some of these societies might have been part of a vast, interconnected networks spanning continents. Sounds a lot cooler than nomadic foragers, right? And here's the thing. Mainstream archaeology is stuck in the past, literally. They cling to this 6,000-year timeline like it's carved in stone, pun intended, rejecting anything that doesn't fit their neat little narrative. Why? Because rewriting history is messy, and they'd rather not deal with it. But let's face it, how much of our real history is buried underneath dirt, mudslides, and centuries of natural cleanup? The stuff we have found, monuments, carvings, tools, teases us with glimpses of a world far more advanced than we ever imagined. Around 14,500 years ago, the Earth went through what we'd politely call a bad time. Massive floods, wildfires, and climate shifts wreaked havoc. Whether triggered by a cosmic event or tectonic shifts, these disasters wiped out entire societies. It didn't matter how clever or innovative they were. Nature had other plans. Cities fell, populations disappeared, and survivors were left scrambling to rebuild from scratch. But even in the face of destruction, these ancient civilizations left us breadcrumbs. Their monuments and carvings weren't just pretty decorations. They might be warning signs, messages meant to shout across time, hey, pay attention. They seemed to hint at knowledge of cosmic or environmental threats that could, frankly, come knocking again. And here's the kicker. Humanity has hit extraordinary heights before, only to crash and burn. This cycle of rise and fall, it's happened, and it will happen again. Yet mainstream archaeology and institutions would rather sweep this uncomfortable reality under the rug. Why? Because admitting it means admitting they've had it wrong, and nobody likes doing that. It means facing truths that challenge not just what we think about the past, but how prepared or unprepared we are for the future. So here's the truth. The evidence is there, plain as day, for anyone willing to look. Sure, it's unsettling, but ignoring it doesn't make it any less real. These ancient warnings aren't just relics of a forgotten world. They're calls to action. Whether we choose to listen or not, well, that's up to us. But one thing's for sure, if history teaches us anything, it's that Mother Nature and the cosmos don't care about our plans. And honestly, there's not a darn thing that we can do about it. For most of the 20th century, archaeologists stuck to a tidy little timeline. Civilization as we know it began around 4000 BC. You've probably heard the mainstream story. Stone Age hunter-gatherers braved the Ice Age, figured out farming, and eventually settled down in Mesopotamia, the Fertile Crescent. Then, about 6000 years ago, ancient Sumer burst onto the scene, bringing us the first civilization. Before that, humans were supposedly just nomads with stone tools, wandering around, hunting and gathering, just trying to make it to tomorrow. But here's the thing, that timeline? Totally wrong. Over the years, strange discoveries have been popping up, structures and artifacts that don't just poke holes in this neat little narrative, they blow it to pieces. These weren't tiny huts or basic tools, we're talking massive, sophisticated works of art and engineering. Things that, according to the mainstream story, humans weren't supposed to be capable of back then. So let's put this into perspective. These structures are older than the Great Pyramid of Giza by thousands of years. They were built during a time when humans were supposedly just trying to survive. Yet, what's been uncovered shows a level of complexity in organization that rivals some of history's most celebrated civilizations. And these aren't just one-off finds. These sites are massive. They're deliberate. They're intricate. Whoever built them wasn't just surviving. They were thriving. These weren't people reacting to the world around them. They were shaping it. Now here's where it really gets wild. These sites weren't built by city dwellers or farmers. They were built by people living in the Stone Age. No cities, no farms, no written language, just pure human ingenuity. The tools, the planning, the effort, it all points to something extraordinary. In mainstream archaeology, it's either struggling to explain it or flat out ignoring it. And here's the kicker. These discoveries aren't limited to one region. They're popping up all over the world. Dense jungles, deserts, even underwater. Advanced societies in places nobody expected. Some were buried under layers of earth for thousands of years, preserved by the same natural disasters that wiped them out. Others were submerged, swallowed up by rising seas and shifting landscapes. But instead of rewriting the history books, mainstream archaeology shrugs these off as coincidences or lucky finds. Well, really? How many coincidences does it take before you start connecting the dots?
We don't believe in coincidences, Ralph.
That's right. We sure don't. These discoveries aren't just anomalies. They're rewriting everything we thought we knew about human history. So here's what mainstream archaeology won't tell you. The world 12,000 years ago wasn't some barren wasteland of scattered tribes. It was alive. It was innovative. It was creating things that still leave us scratching our heads in awe today. All right, so let's talk about one discovery that completely flips the script on everything we thought we knew. Göbekli Tepe. Nestled in the rolling hills of southeastern Turkey, this site defies logic based on what we've been taught about ancient humans. It shouldn't exist, but it does. And it's one of the most game-changing archaeological finds ever uncovered. The story begins in 1994 with an old Kurdish shepherd, Savak Yildiz, who noticed a strange oblong-shaped stone sticking out of the ground. Enter archaeologist Klaus Schmidt, who decided to investigate. What he found rewrote history. A sprawling complex of massive stone pillars arranged in intricate circular formations. Göbekli Tepe, which means potbelly hill, wasn't just old, it was ancient. How ancient? The oldest parts of the site date back 11,600 years. That's 7,000 years before the Great Pyramid of Giza. To put that in perspective, when Göbekli Tepe was built, woolly mammoths were still stomping around in some parts of the world. Yet, somehow, Stone Age humans managed to create monumental stone enclosures that required advanced planning, an understanding of engineering, and coordinated effort on a massive scale. These weren't folks chasing mammoths with sticks. They were building with precision and purpose. This place is huge. Archaeologists have uncovered four massive enclosures so far, spanning over 100,000 square feet. And guess what? They're just scratching the surface. Advanced imaging has revealed 15 to 20 more structures buried below, along with over 200 additional stone pillars waiting to be unearthed. And here's the kicker. These structures weren't just thrown together. They were aligned with Sirius, the brightest star in the night sky. And over time, as Sirius shifted, new structures were built to match its movements. Think about what that means. These people had a deep understanding of the cosmos. An understanding mainstream archaeology says Stone Age humans simply didn't have. I mean, Stone Age humans mastered this, yet do you think you or I could somehow accomplish this without our technology and smartphones? Yeah, I don't think so either. Then there are the carvings. These T-shaped pillars, some over 16 feet tall and weighing up to 20 tons, are covered with intricate designs. Lions, vultures, snakes, scorpions, you name it. And there are stranger figures too. Human-animal hybrids that hint at a belief system or mythology we've barely begun to understand.
Sounds like the Anunnaki to me.
But these carvings weren't just for decoration. One pillar, famously called the Vulture Stone, seems to tell a story. A tale of a civilization's rise, its connection to the stars, and a catastrophic event that marked its end.
Wait, so if the Vulture Stone tells their story, does that mean they knew something we don't?
Well, that's a great question. It sure feels like it. The carvings could be a warning, a record of something these people lived through that they wanted us to remember. And here's another twist. Göbekli Tepe wasn't a place where people lived. No farms, no houses, no hearths. This was something else entirely. A temple, a gathering place, a cultural hub. It challenges everything we thought we knew about early humans. The mainstream narrative says advanced civilizations didn't exist that far back in history. But Göbekli Tepe blows that narrative out of the water. And here's a wild idea. What if the builders of Göbekli Tepe inherited their knowledge from an even older civilization?
Anunnaki.
Maybe a culture that thrived before the last ice age and passed down their understanding of astronomy, engineering, and the natural world.
Definitely Anunnaki.
But wait, it gets weirder. Göbekli Tepe wasn't abandoned naturally. It was deliberately buried. The people who built it went to great lengths to cover their work, preserving it for thousands of years. Now, why would they do that? Were they protecting it from something? Or were they leaving behind a message, a kind of time capsule meant to endure? These questions leave mainstream archaeology scratching its head. How did Stone Age humans figure out the organization and tools needed to pull this off? Where did they get that knowledge?
Anunnaki, obviously.
And perhaps, most importantly, what drove them to build it in the first place? And for the ultimate kicker, Göbekli Tepe isn't the only site of its kind. In Turkey alone, there's so much more waiting to be uncovered. If Göbekli Tepe left archaeologists scratching their heads, Karahan Tepe came along and knocked them flat. Just 35 miles down the road from Göbekli Tepe, this site is rewriting what we thought we knew about ancient human societies. Excavations at Karahan Tepe, which kicked off in earnest in 2019, have uncovered a site with some surprising differences from its famous neighbor. While Göbekli Tepe looks like it was all about ceremonies and rituals, Karahan Tepe tells a more grounded story, daily life. Archaeologists have found grindstones, flint tools, and food storage vessels. Basically, the everyday tools of a structured society with specialized roles. Unlike Göbekli Tepe, which feels like a cosmic temple, Karahan Tepe seems like a bustling hub where people actually lived, worked, and maybe even argued over who left the grindstone out. What makes this even cooler is how the two sites seem to fit together almost like puzzle pieces. Think of Göbekli Tepe as the spiritual and cultural HQ, while Karahan Tepe handled the practical everyday stuff. Together, they paint a picture of a level of societal organization that Stone Age humans supposedly were incapable of. Well, turns out, supposedly doesn't count for much.
Wait, so these weren't just random sites. They were part of a system.
Exactly. Karahan Tepe isn't just doing its own thing. It's part of something way bigger.
Oh, so there's more.
Oh, you bet, pal. There's a lot more. In 2021, the Turkish government dropped a bombshell. They've identified 11 more sites in the area. This whole network called Tas Tepler forms a 100-mile ring with Göbekli Tepe smack in the middle. The implications? Mind-blowing. We're not talking about scattered nomadic groups here. This was a full-on network of interconnected settlements, a society big enough and organized enough to support a large permanent population. One standout site, Saberk, has communal buildings that could hold dozens of people, intricately carved halls, and even proper homes. So much for the image of primitive hunters huddling in caves. This entire region, once dismissed as a hangout for hunter-gatherers, is now shaping up to be an ancient metropolis, a thriving cultural and social hotspot that emerged in the wake of the Younger Dryas, a period of massive environmental upheaval. Karahan Tepe, Göbekli Tepe, and the rest of Taz Tepler aren't just dusty ruins. They are solid proof of a sophisticated society that rose to meet the challenges of a rapidly changing world. They force us to rethink everything we thought we knew about the Stone Age. Now, hold your socks for this one. As if Göbekli Tepe and Karahan Tepe hadn't already turned the mainstream story of human history on its head, Bonkuklu Tarla comes along and absolutely smashes it to bits. Located about 185 miles from Göbekli Tepe, this site is part of the larger Taz Tepler network. And let's be clear, it doesn't just challenge the mainstream narrative, it obliterates it. Bonkuklu Tarla dates back a staggering 12,000 to 13,000 years ago, putting it in the same time frame as Göbekli Tepe. This isn't some random outlier or a quirky one-off discovery. It's another undeniable piece of evidence that the official timeline of civilization, yes, the one we've been spoon-fed for decades, is frankly outdated and in desperate need of a rewrite. What archaeologists have uncovered here is nothing short of mind-blowing, directly contradicting the tired claim that human civilization began only 6,000 years ago. The structures at Bonkuklu Tarla show a level of sophistication that rewrites what we thought Stone Age humans were capable of. Private buildings, communal spaces, storage facilities, this wasn't some makeshift campsite. These were permanent, meticulously organized spaces designed with precision. Oh, and let's not forget the evidence of a sewer system. Yes, you heard right, a sewer system. This wasn't just a basic ditch either. It's an engineering marvel for its time, proving they understood infrastructure and public health far better than we'd expect from a society this old. And this wasn't just a lonely little settlement either. It was a thriving community, one that used math, astronomy, and advanced planning to structure their lives. The artifacts found here make that crystal clear. Tools, ornamental objects, and microliths have all been uncovered. But the real showstopper? Thousands of intricately crafted beads. That's right, you heard that right. These weren't just pretty decorations. They're evidence of a division of labor. Artisans dedicating their time to making culturally and possibly economically significant items.
Wait, sewer systems and bead making 12,000 years ago. That's not just advanced. It sounds like the blueprint for modern society.
Exactly. The evidence at Bonkuklu Tarla doesn't just nudge us to rethink what early humans were up to. It smashes the old ideas to pieces. These weren't nomadic hunters eking out a living. They had a deep understanding of engineering, astronomy, and social structure. And here's the kicker. It doesn't stop there. Bonkuklu Tarla is part of the Taz Tepler network, linked to Göbekli Tepe and Karahan Tepe. Together, these sites reveal a civilization that wasn't just surviving. They were thriving and building their lives around a profound understanding of the cosmos. Bonkuklu Tarla is proof, irrefutable proof, that advanced civilizations existed long before Mesopotamia or Egypt came onto the scene. It shows us that humanity's capacity for innovation, organization, and culture stretches back far further than recorded history admits. And yet, mainstream archaeology clings to its outdated timeline like a kid refusing to let go of their favorite toy, ignoring evidence that's staring them right in the face. This isn't a wild theory, folks. It's fact. The structures, tools, and artifacts at Bonkuklu Tarla demand we rethink everything we thought we knew about human history. They force us to reconsider not just where we came from, but how far back the story really goes. Mainstream archaeology has been wrong before, and guess what? It's wrong again. Sites like Göbekli Tepe, Karahan Tepe, and Bongkuklu Tarla have already wrecked the outdated timeline of human civilization. But here's the real kicker. These aren't isolated finds. All over the world, evidence is emerging that advanced civilizations existed way earlier than we've been taught. Take Dwarka off the coast of India. This mythical city isn't so mythical anymore. Submerged for over 9,000 years, right around the Younger Dryas period, it has stone foundations, planned layouts, roads, docks, and even an irrigation system. Sounds pretty advanced, doesn't it? And recent sonar studies hint at more submerged cities lurking along India's coastline, just waiting for someone to dig them out of history's dustbin. And Dwarka isn't alone. Off the coast of Cuba lies another submerged city that might date back to, wait for it, as far as 50,000 years. Structures like the Bimini Road in the Bahamas add even more mystery, hinting at entire civilizations swallowed by rising seas, where some think it could be Atlantis. Then there's the Shigir Idol from Siberia. This wooden sculpture is more than 12,000 years old, double the age of the Great Pyramid of Giza. And it's no stick figure. Intricate geometric patterns and human-like faces carved into it suggest a symbolic language or cosmological map. The fact that it survived at all, thanks to a peat bog, makes you wonder how many other treasures we've lost to time. Oh, and let's not forget Gunung Padang in Indonesia. What looks like a hill is actually a massive layered structure. Carbon dating pegs parts of it at over 20,000 years old, would make it the oldest megalithic site we know of. Building it would have taken engineering, geometry, and geology know-how that supposedly didn't exist back then. Some even think it could be the remains of a pre-Ice Age civilization, passing down knowledge we're only now rediscovering. Meanwhile, in the Americas, the so-called Clovis First theory has been officially tossed in the trash. For decades, archaeologists insisted humans arrived in North America around 10,000 years ago via the Bering Land Bridge. But sites like these blow that idea out of the water. Monteverde, Chile, 14,800 years old. Evidence of wooden structures, stone tools, and plant remains suggest early humans were here long before Clovis culture and may have taken a coastal migration route. Then we have Buttermilk Creek, Texas, 15,500 years old. Over 15,000 artifacts have been found, including stone tools. They predate Clovis technology, showing a continuous cultural evolution. Then we have the Bluefish Caves in Canada, 24,000 years old. Animal bones with cut marks prove humans were active during the glacial maximum. Paige Ladson in Florida, 14,550 years old. Butchered mastodon remains and tools found underwater reveal humans lived here earlier than Clovis. Then we have the Meadowcroft Rock Shelter in Pennsylvania, 16,000 years old. Tools, fire pits, and plant remains indicate humans were thriving far earlier than we thought. Instead of trudging across a barren ice-free corridor, early humans may have used boats to travel along the Pacific coast. Well, makes sense, right? Now, closer to home, the Great Pyramid of Giza keeps refusing to fit into the mainstream narrative. We're told it was built as a tomb, but no mummies have ever been found inside. Some researchers suggest it might have been an ancient power plant instead. Crazy? Well, maybe. But then again, mainstream archaeology won't even entertain the idea. And the Mayans? Well, they've been busy rewriting history too. Recent discoveries in Guatemala's jungle revealed a sprawling civilization spanning over 650 square miles, interconnected by raised highways. built 2,000 years before Roman roads, these plaster-paved paths were engineered for drainage and connectivity. Even underground, the mysteries keep piling up. Take Derinkuyu in Turkey, for example. This underground city, capable of sheltering 20,000 people, was dismissed as a myth until someone expanded their basement and accidentally found it. It has ventilation systems, storage rooms, and a whole lot of questions about who built it and why. And then there are the flood myths. Cultures around the world, almost all the cultures around the world, from Mesopotamia's Epic of Gilgamesh to the Norse tale of Ragnarok to Aboriginal Australian legends, they all share stories of great floods that wiped out civilizations. These aren't just bedtime stories, folks. They're fragmented memories, real cataclysms that reshaped humanity's trajectory.
So, Ralph, you're saying just because we haven't found the evidence doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Exactly, Wendell. Absence of evidence isn't evidence of absence. The world is vast and the layers of time run deep. Mainstream archaeology often clings to its outdated timelines, dismissing discoveries that could rewrite the story of humanity. But the evidence is out there, clear as day. Advanced civilizations existed long before we were taught to believe. Their achievements, hidden under oceans, buried beneath earth, and preserved in legends, demand we take a long, hard look at what we think we know about human history. So, we've talked about how civilization started way earlier than mainstream archaeology likes to admit. That's not speculation, that's a fact. We've also highlighted the stubbornness of mainstream archaeology, which seems more interested in preserving its old timelines than actually exploring the evidence. But here's the real question. If these ancient humans and civilizations built such mind-blowing cities, where did they pick up the skills to pull it off?
Anunnaki.
The answers might lie in one of the oldest theories out there, one that talks about super advanced civilizations like Atlantis or Mu thriving long before the Younger Dryas turned the world upside down. These weren't just scrappy little tribes figuring out how to grow crops. They were global powerhouses with jaw-dropping knowledge in math, engineering, astronomy, and maybe even technology we still can't wrap our heads around. Here's where it gets wild. According to some accounts, this knowledge didn't just come out of nowhere. It was handed down, gifted, if you will. Mythologies from around the world describe godlike beings like the Anunnaki from Mesopotamian legend coming to Earth and sharing their secrets. These beings supposedly taught humans how to farm, build, navigate the stars, and basically level up as a species. But of course, nothing lasts forever. Around 12,000 years ago, during the Younger Dryas, a massive global shakeup brought this golden age crashing down. Temperatures tanked, floods swept across continents, and rising seas swallowed cities entire. Atlantis, Mu, and potentially other advanced societies were wiped off the map, leaving behind only whispers and myths and legends.
Wait, if they were wiped out, how did their knowledge survive?
Well, now we're getting to the good part. The theory suggests that some survivors managed to escape and scatter across the globe. These people didn't just survive. They carried their knowledge with them and shared it with less advanced groups they encountered. Think of it as the ultimate tutoring session, except the stakes were civilization itself. Look at what happened next. After these cataclysms, civilizations around the world suddenly started making huge leaps in technology and culture. Göbekli Tepe pops up out of nowhere, boasting insane engineering and astronomical alignments. The Mayans built superhighways through the jungle to connect their cities. The Egyptians construct the Great Pyramid with mathematical precision we still can't fully explain today. So, were these leaps forward really inventions? Or were they hand-me-downs from the survivors of Atlantis or Mu who passed their blueprints on to early societies trying to rebuild. Even ancient texts and myths seem to back this up. Flood stories from around the world, like Noah's Ark and the Epic of Gilgamesh, found across wildly different cultures, could be fragments of real memories, echoes of a world-ending deluge, and the survivors who kept the flame alive. But maybe these stories aren't just warnings about hubris or divine punishment. Maybe they're history, passed down through generations, about a world drowned in water and the people who carried its life forward. Here's where it gets even more fascinating. Legends like those of the Anunnaki don't just tell us about destruction. They talk about preservation. According to these stories, the Anunnaki weren't just harbingers of catastrophe. They were also the keepers of knowledge, ensuring humanity didn't completely lose its understanding of engineering, astronomy, and societal organization. This theory that pre-flood civilizations were gifted knowledge by advanced beings makes you think twice about what happened after the Younger Dryas. These weren't just survivors, they were teachers. Their influence is everywhere if you know where to look, from ancient structures to technological breakthroughs that seem to appear out of nowhere. Yet, once again, mainstream archaeology keeps looking the other way. But the evidence of their legacy is hiding in plain sight, written in stone, mapped in the stars, and woven into the myths of nearly every culture. So here's the big question. What really happened to these civilizations? Did their survivors reshape the world as we know it? Or is there still more of their story waiting to be uncovered? So, what's the deal with this Younger Dryas cosmic catastrophe we keep bringing up? Well, to get a better grip on it, let's dive into Göbekli Tepe's Pillar 43, also known as the Vulture Stone. This isn't just some ancient decoration. It might be an actual record of a disaster so massive it reshaped human history. One of the carvings on this pillar is a scorpion, which researchers link to the constellation Scorpius. Sure, that sounds all very science-y, but it's basically like an ancient star map pointing to a period between 10,900 and 10,800 BC, a time where the world went through some seriously drastic changes. But here's the kicker. The scorpion might not just be about the stars. Across ancient cultures, the scorpion symbolized both destruction and protection. Mesopotamian myths tell of scorpion men guarding the gates of the sun, while in Egyptian lore, the goddess Serket was all about healing and venom. So, was this scorpion carving saying, "Watch out, danger's coming," or maybe, "Don't worry, we got this"? Maybe it was both, a celestial warning with a side of resilience. It's the kind of layered meaning that connects the cosmos with human stories in ways we're just starting to understand. And it doesn't stop there. Pillar 43 also features a headless figure, yikes, that likely symbolizes death and upheaval, and a serpent climbing upward, possibly representing massive waves engulfing the land. These visuals aren't just ancient art. They line up with modern evidence of giant tsunamis. Ice cores from Greenland and Antarctica reveal spikes in platinum concentration and microtectites, key signs of a cosmic impact, dating back to around 10,900 BC. Now let's break that down a bit. Platinum is super rare on Earth, but common in asteroids and comets. When a big space rock smashes into us, it vaporizes, spraying platinum-rich material into the atmosphere. That debris eventually settles, leaving a nice little "we got hit" marker in soil, ice, and sediment layers. Microtectites? Well, those are tiny glassy spheres formed when the heat and pressure from a cosmic impact liquefy rock, launching molten material into the air. It cools, solidifies, and falls back to Earth like cosmic confetti. Together, these clues help scientists pinpoint when the Earth got smacked and how badly. But wait, there's more. sediment cores from the ocean floor back this up too. Layers from the Younger Dryas period show a massive influx of fresh water into the North Atlantic, thanks to rapidly melting ice sheets, which messed up the Atlantic meridional overturning circulation. Whoa, that's a mouthful. Basically, the Earth climate AC system. Add in evidence of underwater landslides and tsunamis, and you've got a perfect storm of destruction. Sound familiar? It's all eerily similar to the story Pillar 43 seems to tell. And Göbekli Tepe isn't done spilling its secrets. Pillar 56 shows animals fleeing and waves crashing, while Pillar 18 appears to line up with Aquarius, suggesting celestial events tied to this chaos. Combine the carvings with the science, and you get a chilling narrative of cosmic destruction and human survival. A story encoded in stone by people who clearly knew what they were doing. Now here's where it gets even crazier. There's a theory that blames its destruction on a mega comet that broke apart around 20,000 years ago, creating a debris field that Earth still passes through today. Enter the Taurid meteor stream, our planet's annual trip through this cosmic minefield. And history's got some receipts too. The Tunguska event in 1908, a massive explosion over Siberia caused by a fragment of the stream, flattened 800 square miles of forest. No impact crater, just sheer destruction. If that doesn't give you goosebumps, I don't know what will. Ancient myths seem to echo these cosmic events. In Greek mythology, fiery chariots and celestial battles could easily be inspired by meteor showers lighting up the skies. Native American stories of fire from the heavens describe land-scorching events that align with evidence of prehistoric impacts. These tales aren't just bedtime stories. They're humanity's way of remembering the unthinkable. Which brings us back to Göbekli Tepe. The carvings on Pillar 43 might not just document the past, they could be a warning for the future. The fiery imagery and star alignment scream, pay attention, because the cosmic dangers they depict are still very real. Every fall, in present day today, as Earth passes through the Taurid meteor stream, we're reminded of just how fragile civilization really is. But here's the bigger picture. These carvings show how ancient humans tried to make sense of a chaotic universe. They didn't just look at the stars for beauty, they saw a cosmic clock ticking down to the next disaster. By connecting celestial events with real-world cataclysms, they might have created one of the first cosmologies, a way of understanding the heavens not just as a source of awe, but as a potential threat. And here's the terrifying part. While we've dodged the worst so far, there's no telling when our luck might run out. So the next time you're gazing at a meteor shower, just remember, you're not just watching a light show. You're watching the universe remind us who's really in charge. On a cold November night, you might find yourself under a clear sky enjoying the Taurid meteor shower, a stunning cosmic show with streaks of light painting the darkness. Most of us gaze up in awe, completely unaware that this beautiful spectacle comes with a hidden danger. Now imagine this. Out of nowhere, a blinding light floods the sky, turning night into day. Seconds later, the earth shakes violently. Tsunamis taller than skyscrapers race across the oceans, and entire cities vanish under the waves. Sounds like the plot of a disaster movie, right? Except it's not. It's something Earth has been through before. Think of the planet as a giant rewritable journal, a palimpsest, with each chapter overwritten by cycles of destruction and renewal. Every layer of the Earth's crust holds whispers of the past, stories of civilizations that rose to greatness only to be erased by fire, floods, or cosmic impacts. Fossilized ruins, ancient myths, and bizarre geological finds are the faint scribbles left behind. If you think modern cities with all their steel and concrete would fare any better. Spoiler alert, they wouldn't. They'd vanish just as completely as the ancient ones did. And speaking of ancient whispers, legends from around the world seem to remember these cosmic resets. The Norse tale of Ragnarok talks about blazing heavens, stars falling, and the flood wiping the slate clean for a fresh start. Chinese myths of celestial dragons might not just be cool stories. They could be ancient accounts of meteor events that shook their world. Native American tales of fire from the heavens describe land-scorching phenomena that eerily align with evidence of prehistoric impacts. These aren't just wild tales. They are fragmented memories of apocalyptic events etched into the human psyche. Now, here's where things get interesting. We've come a long way since ancient times, and humanity isn't completely flying blind anymore. Thanks to modern advancements, we have tools to spot cosmic threats. NASA's Planetary Defense Coordination Office, yes, it's a real thing, keeps an eye out for troublemakers in the form of asteroids and comets. We even have plans like kinetic impactors, essentially playing cosmic billiards by smacking an asteroid off its collision course. NASA's DART mission already proved it can be done. So yeah, we're not entirely powerless, but let's not kid ourselves. The cosmos doesn't play by our rules, and the Taurid meteor stream is a beast. It's a sprawling debris field stretching millions of miles, packed with chunks of rock and ice, some big enough to wipe us out on one go. Finding every potential threat in there is like searching for a needle in a haystack that's on fire and moving at 67,000 miles per hour. Even with all our tech, a surprise impact could still happen. Too big, too fast, too soon. And let's face it, governments aren't exactly shouting this from the rooftops. Why? Because there's not a darn thing they can do about it. So as you watch the Taurid meteor streak across the sky this fall, remember, they're not just pretty lights. They're nature's way of reminding us that the universe operates on cycles much bigger than us. Destruction isn't a matter of if, but when. History shows that the Earth has reset itself countless times before, burying civilizations under layers of sediment and silence. Those who survived did so through ingenuity and adaptation. Maybe our job isn't just to fear the heavens, but to learn from the traces of those who came before us. Because one day, luck won't be on our side. And when that day comes, it won't be the end of the world, just the end of ours. But maybe, just maybe, fragments of what we built will endure, waiting to whisper our story to whoever comes next. Thanks for diving into history with me today. I'm Ralph, that's Wendell, and this has been another fascinating episode on Divergent History. If you had fun, learned something new, or just enjoyed Wendell's antics, hit subscribe, share, and all those buttons that help keep small channels like ours afloat in the vast ocean of YouTube. Seriously, every little click counts. But here's the real secret to this channel. It's you. Your curiosity fuels these stories, and your ideas inspire the episodes. So, what's your take on this one? Do you have a theory, a perspective, or maybe a question that's been rattling around in your brain? Drop it in the comments down below. You never know, your suggestion could lead to our very next adventure. And hey, if you'd like to go the extra mile, please consider supporting Divergent History through Patreon or becoming one of our YouTube channel members. It's your support that keeps the wheels churning and Wendell's grumpiness in check. Remember, together, our exploration uncovers truths far bigger than anything they try to hide from us. You are the heart of this journey, and I can't wait to see you on the next episode. Until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and you are truly appreciated. Have a good night.